Hey, podcast listeners. The Journal is excited to announce a brand new podcast series launching Friday, May 19th, called The Future of Everything. On the show, we'll explore how science and technology are revolutionizing everything from business and industry to culture and society. The Future of Everything podcast is sponsored by Slack. Companies all over the world depend on Slack every day to get everything done. Slack, where work happens. We look forward to you joining us as we embark on this exciting new series. So be sure to subscribe now by visiting wsj.com/podcasts or visit the Future of Everything page on your podcast app.
Stocks and bonds are pretty pricey right now. Is this shades of 2007?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Stocks and bonds have both enjoyed a healthy rally this year with amazingly low volatility. There are questions about whether there are similarities between today's market and the one 10 years ago, which was also frothy. We all know what happened soon afterward, the financial crisis with stocks tumbling. Let's talk about the financial market differences between then and now with Wall Street Journal reporter Sam Goldfarb. Sam, you write about a number of differences in the markets between 2007 and today. Talk about this. You say banks and households have reduced their reliance on debt, probably reducing the chance of another financial crisis.
Yeah, that's the big difference between now and 10 years ago. As you said, investors like 10 years ago are really driving asset prices higher, stocks, riskier corporate bonds. And that might concern some people that people are getting overly optimistic and that we could be in for another, you know, downfall. But the big difference is that there's just less debt in the private sector than there used to be, than there was 10 years ago. Less reliance, less risk taking, basically, on the part of banks and on the part of families. So that suggests that maybe, you know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have another recession ever, but maybe not as bad as we did 10 years ago.
But stocks are still pricey at this point. You say stocks in the S&P are at their highest level since 2010. Why don't you talk about that?
Right. I mean, a standard way of measuring how expensive stocks are is by looking at their price to their earnings. You can measure earnings in different ways if you measure it one way. I believe stocks are the most expensive since 2010. If you measure it a different way, they're the most expensive since 2002. So that certainly suggests that that certainly is a cause of concern for some people, that it's that the market has just gotten too frothy.
Sam, please explain this. You write that the average option-adjusted yield premium between junk-rated corporate bonds and U.S. Treasuries is nearing its post-financial crisis low.
Right. So just ignore some of the more complicated terminology there. Bonds have interest rates, and when interest rate on a bond issued by a sort of highly leveraged, debt-ridden company is low, that means that and low compared to the yield of a U.S. government bond, that means that investors are willing to sort of – there's a lot of demand for those bonds. If they if there's less demand, investors would be demanding a higher interest rate.
Talk about market volatility, Sam. The VIX, the CBOE Volatility Index, recently hit a 25-year low. Is that a good sign or a bad sign?
Well, I guess I'd note that it went up today with all the craziness going on in Washington.
Okay, and so, no doubt.
So these things quickly change. Yeah. But that's another thing that people have been talking about in terms of the cause for concern. And maybe what we're seeing today is that that sort of calm can portend a lot of the opposite.
But a low VIX in itself is good generally.
It suggests that investors are confident that not only are, you know, stock prices good, high now, but that they're going to stay that way. There's not going to be a lot of volatility.
I'm speaking with Sam Goldfarb of The Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
You rely on The Wall Street Journal for informed market insights and news coverage. Now let WSJ Wine give you the inside track to the world's smartest wine buys, delivered conveniently to your door. Highlights of your first case include a 99-point Super Tuscan and a gold medal Bordeaux from the exceptional 2015 vintage. Order now to receive over $100 in savings and free shipping. Simply go to wsjwine.com/sip or call 877-WSJ-WINE.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Sam, we've talked about the fact that households are relying less on debt, but what about government debt? It has ballooned over the past decade in terms of a percentage of GDP, hasn't it?
Yeah, there was almost, you could say, a transfer of debt from the private to the public sector because all that debt in the private sector, you could say, led to the financial crisis. And then the government stepped in both automatically through like unemployment benefits and the like, where just they wouldn't, even without passing a law, there would, government spending would increase, but also through the stimulus, President Obama's stimulus. They purposely increased their borrowing, increased their spending to try to jumpstart the economy, and that caused their debt to go, to the government's debt to go up. That probably doesn't create as many immediate problems, as many immediate risks as debt, you know, from a in the private sector among households and financial institutions. But it does mean that there's potentially less ability on the part of the government to do the same thing again if we were to have another recession.
But aren't we likely to go deeper into debt because of the economic policies that have been floated, for instance, reducing taxes on the wealthy and also an infrastructure program?
Right. President Trump has talked about priming the pump of the economy, which is a term usually used for stepping in when there is a recession. And yet he's talking, using that terminology, even at this time when the unemployment rate is very low. So, yeah, he's expressly talked about increasing the deficit, increasing the debt.
So, all right, I guess the question at the end is the stock market better off today than it was back a decade ago before the financial crisis hit?
I would say so. It doesn't mean that stocks won't go down. It doesn't mean that there couldn't be another correction. And definitely there will be another economic recession and stocks will go down. But there were really conditions in place 10 years ago. In hindsight, that seemed very clear.
I remember in the summer of 2007, the housing bubble was bursting.
Yeah.
And that was a definite sign.
Yeah. I mean, I was if you have time for a little anecdote, I was a journalism student in 2007, and an economist came in and addressed a class and sort of pointed at this one figure, which was household debt. And he said, that is not sustainable. This is a recipe for trouble. So that's a fairly important metric that has changed over the past decade.
Wall Street Journal reporter Sam Goldfarb, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Coming Friday, May 19th, the Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.